This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.
Welcome back, old friends, new frenemies, and all who lie elsewhere in between on the spectrum that is life, to another edition of the Matt Rooney Show. I am the aforementioned Matt Rooney, somewhat abbreviated version of our radio show slash podcast. That's how it goes sometimes, folks. Only 1 hour to get it all in, but we're gonna make it happen. We're gonna make it happen as we always do here in our little program. Don't worry, next week we'll be back to our regular 2 hours. Sometimes you can have too much of a good thing. An exception to that rule is when producer Andrew Torres joins us here on the Matt Rooney Show. Welcome back, Andrew.
Good to be back, Matt. Glad to be here, and got a lot to talk about today.
Whenever producer Dan takes a walk, we're always happy when you volunteer to fill in.
I appreciate it.
Usually I bust his chops for that, but he was here for something like 5 or 6 weeks in a row, which may be a record for us since he returned to the program about a year ago. So right. I can't complain too much, and I won't, especially on a week like this one where we're all still hurting quite a bit. And I know that you've been a fan and follower of Charlie Kirk for a while. I actually thought about texting you earlier in the week when we got the grim news from Utah. How did you find out about it?
Well, I found out that he had gotten that he got shot because I follow a lot of things on Twitter. I follow you on Twitter. There's a lot of other news outlets that I follow, and the first thing that I saw, it was actually all over mainstream media, which I was actually really surprised by. ABC had an article about it. The New York Times was posting about it, and so I took out my phone and I simply Googled Charlie Kirk. And there were reports all over the place. AP News and all of these things were saying that Charlie Kirk was shot when he was in Utah. And I kept looking on – I was looking for a status update. And I couldn't find one because the only thing that they had said was that, you know, he had gotten shot. And I texted my brother because we both – you know, our family typically aligns conservative and Republican. Right. And so I texted him and, you know, did you see this? Like, have you heard anything? I texted my – I called my sister and we were just kind of chatting back and forth. And it wasn't until – I'm blanking on how long it was when it actually came out that he had passed away, but I got the news.
It felt like forever.
It did feel like forever. And I don't think it was that long of a time.
No, it was a fairly brief period.
Yeah, it was quick.
I didn't know Charlie Kirk.
Right.
But we have some mutual friends. Mm-hmm. And so I was hearing rumors and different accounts. And at one point, things are when these tragic events unfold. Everyone's trying to get information. At one point, there was thought that maybe he was stable. I don't know if that was true. I mean, look.
Yeah, I saw those reports too.
If you saw the video at the time, nobody wanted to say it because we all hope for a miracle. But I thought instantaneously, I don't know how anybody survives that. I also deeply regretted that I saw it. Between the video of Charlie Kirk being assassinated and the video surveillance footage of that poor Ukrainian girl on Charlotte Light Rail.
Terrible.
I've had enough for not just this week, for a lifetime. It's terrible. I got a little bit more emotional earlier this week.
I did too.
I expected.
It was really hard to explain. I compare the two. They're not the same thing. Far from it. But I remember. You remember where you were.
Yeah.
You were doing who you were with when these kind of things happened. Last year, when President Trump,
and
candidate Trump was shot, I was at the American Dream Mall up in North Jersey. We were in the food court, my family and I, and my brother-in-law. He comes over to me with a tray of food, and he doesn't even – I was going to ask him, like, how – you know, what food do they have and blah, blah, blah. And he skips the pleasantries, and he just – did you see what happened? And I said, what? And he goes, Trump got shot.
Yeah.
But the difference between – and you were talking about
– hideous building, by the way, the American Dream Mall up at the Meadowlands.
It doesn't look
cool,
nice
but kind
on
of
the
cool
outside.
Inside.
The inside's got a lot of good stuff, and I'm a kid at heart. So, you know, water park and theme park and everything.
It's basically if an old school 80s mall and a theme park had a baby, then it's the Meadowlands, but then was housed inside of a hideous spaceship. Right. I don't know how else to describe it if you've never driven past the Meadowlands.
It's tough.
But I remember I was driving to the shore when I found out about Trump last summer, and I nearly drove off the road.
And that's the thing. Like, you're checking for updates and stuff. The difference for me, though, obviously Trump survived.
Right.
But I wasn't as upset, like, emotionally. Like, I actually cried when I heard that Charlie had passed away. I saw.
Well, you know what it is, Andrew, and this is the connective tissue.
Yeah.
Right. In the case of that young Ukrainian immigrant girl that was stabbed to death by a monster down in Charlotte, North Carolina, and then Charlie Kirk, you have an example of, in many ways, the best of America.
Mm.
These young people who, in many ways, embodied what we're trying to do here, achieve the American dream. On one end of the spectrum, you have a Ukrainian immigrant who loved this country. I saw it was reported that the embassy offered to return her body to the Ukraine for burial, and her family said, no, she loves this country. She loves the United States. She should be buried here. And that kind of promise, right? The kind of immigrant that we candidly want in this country, someone that wants to be here, that's enamored with this greatest nation in God's creation, snuffed out senselessly for no reason whatsoever in the prime of her life. And then a similar story with Mr. Kirk, who was not an immigrant, but in many ways represented the best of his generation. The thing that continues to confound in this story, there's many things that are upsetting about it, but, you know, Charlie Kirk did more than anyone else on either side of the political spectrum to try to bridge the divide. And he did it without compromising his values. Now it appears the suspect in this case, the alleged suspect, appears to have written on one of the casings some anti-fascist slogans or slogan. And the irony being that Charlie Kirk is as far from a fascist as you could possibly get. I mean, he embodied the beauty of what democracy can be, going into places that were often hostile to him and trying to start a dialogue without compromising his principles,
right?
But by confronting people and doing it in an uncompromising but respectful way. And if you had a Charlie Kirk on every campus in this country, it would be a very different country. Candidly, it'd be the kind of country that didn't produce the sort of monsters such as the one that's accused of killing him. But we don't. But Charlie Kirk still did a whole hell of a lot on his own. And, I mean, you've heard what J.D. Vance and the president and many of others have said. I don't know if we would have won in 2024 without Charlie Kirk's work in moving young people in the conservative direction. But it's not just about conservatism versus liberalism, progressivism, whatever you want to call it, right? He was encouraging these young people to think for themselves. So, you know, Andrew, I mean, that's why I think so many of us were so emotionally impacted by his assassination. I mean, when Trump was shot, I was angry.
Right.
I was concerned. In the case of Charlie Kirk, I mean, not only did the story end, obviously, much sadder, more, but it's the loss of promise. It's the loss of potential. It's the loss of the best of us. These two individuals, that young girl down in North Carolina and Charlie Kirk, are a vision of what this country has been and can be again. But we're in danger of losing it if we don't prevail over these forces of evil, which are clearly everywhere, because the left has radicalized our society and large segments of an entire generation that really do believe that they're fighting fascism.
Well, I think the thing to understand is the terms that they use, fascism and Nazi and Hitler and all of those things. I mean, even earlier this week, they were talking on the Dom Giordano show. Tony Bruno was filling in for Dom earlier this week. And one of the things that they were talking about on the show was the fact that there's videos of the alleged assassin, and he's in custody, talking about the kind of family that he was raised in, his being turned in by his own father, even, who was a former He's a pastor. I believe he's either a former police officer, former military. He was raised in a conservative household in Utah. And there were reports that he was raised in a Mormon, a religious household. And there's video of him, you know, 4 years ago, however many years ago, reading an acceptance letter to go to the state, to go to Utah University.
I saw
on a scholarship.
And the thing about that that's maddening is that you've
seen... What happened in those years when he went to college, that where he went from, you know, what he was as a conservative, like...
Well, I think we can guess at some of it, right? We can guess at some of it. And there's,
it's kind
of
obvious, actually.
And there's plenty floating around out there.
Yeah.
And I don't want to dig into all of it just because we want to try to stay in the realm of the factual, what we know.
Right.
This isn't MSNBC. This is 1210 WPHD, right? But you know, it's clearly a case of a young man who was radicalized by the culture, possibly by the education system. Something clearly happened to him in those years, Andrew, that you just cited. And the left on social media and X and Blue Sky and all the other places where they creep around are pointing to the profile of his family, attempting to suggest that somehow this destroys the right's narrative, that this is a far left lunatic. Yo, morons, it makes it worse that this young man appears to have come from a normal family setting, at least from what we can tell as we sit here today, right? His dad was a cop, no major red flags, as we can tell right now, but then was radicalized by the culture and the education system that you, these leftists, have created. That is terrifying. I mean, we just commemorated the anniversary of 9/11.
Right.
And what was our primary concern in the wake of 9/11? Radical Islam. The idea that radical Islam had corrupted the minds of an entire generation over in the Middle East, but that there were also cells in the West, and they were brainwashed into believing that if they blew up anyone that was viewed as an enemy of Islam, which in their mind would be anybody who is not Islamic, they would not only be lauded as heroes, but go to heaven and receive, 57 virgins or whatever the heck it is. I'm not sure if it is 57. I might be thinking of varieties of ketchup or types of gender you can select on Facebook.
All those things kind of just mush together into one thing now.
So now here we are 24 years later after those horrendous attacks. And the left in that period, through the education system, through the culture, through their vice grip on our entertainment industry in this country, has succeeded inadvertently or intentionally in radicalizing an entire generation of Americans. There are thousands, millions out there who were celebrating the fact that someone they didn't agree with, a father, a husband, had been shot in the throat. They were celebrating it. And there's examples all over the place. I'm sure you've seen them, Andrew. I mean, and I don't want to get into every single one of them because we don't have the time. And candidly, it depresses the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee has written a letter. Allegedly, a Secret Service agent was celebrating, said it was karma.
Mm.
So that's possibly being investigated. We have, I don't know how many people online, many of them teachers.
Yeah.
Who were posting things on LinkedIn and Facebook and TikTok and elsewhere celebrating Charlie Kirk's demise. Some of them have now been fired.
There was a video. There was a student. I don't even know what school she was going to. She was in the classroom. They had announced it in class that Charlie Kirk had been killed. And, you know, some of the, I would say most of the students in the class were cheering. They were clapping, and the girl turns her phone. The camera, it's front facing. It's on her, but she's talking to everybody else.
Right.
And I don't even know what her political beliefs are. I don't know what side of the aisle she falls on. But what she said was spot on. She said, "Why are we cheering for somebody dying? Like, why is that getting us excited and happy?" Like, and she's pointing out the same thing. He's a husband. He was a father. You know, those kids aren't going to have their dad around anymore. But that's something that we're going to be excited about and cheer about. Like, are you serious? And that's the status of, you know, ever since Donald Trump became president back in 2016, It's just been one thing after another with the left, the Democrats, the liberals, whatever you want to call it, that side of the political aisle. And every single year, Matt, it just seems like it gets worse and worse and worse.
And we should not be surprised.
No, it's still scary, though.
I mean, there was a Rutgers poll back in April of this year. I forget whether it was April of 25 or 24. It was a Network Contagion Research Institute survey, and it found that 55% of those that self-identified as left of center thought it was at least somewhat justified to murder the president. 48% said the same about Elon Musk. This is a Rutgers study, folks. This isn't some random kooky conservative institution, as some of you progressive types would like to label such an org. This is from Rutgers, so maybe you'll believe it, because Rutgers is a leftist institution. So this is not something that began with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. This has been brewing for a while. You have a significant portion of the country that is unwilling to have the sort of dialogue. They're incapable of having the sort of dialogue that Charlie Kirk wanted to have and tried to have on campuses all across this country. So it is something to cry about. He's an irreplaceable person. There's been plenty of wonderful commentary out there about how folks are going to be inspired by Charlie Kirk. More people are going to hear about him and listen to his words than ever before because of this tragedy. That's true, and that's fine, but they don't grow on trees, Charlie Kirks. This is a loss for our country. This is a loss for our movement. And at the risk of being a little cliche here, Andrew, this has to be a turning point. It has to be. We have to stop pretending. We have to stop pretending that the answer is just, oh, everybody needs to turn down the temperature with their rhetoric.
That's the smallest Band-Aid that anybody could ever think of to put on something like this.
Yeah, I mean,
Back
to my point from before, I mean, the answer to 9/11 was not, oh, we just need to, everybody needs to turn down their rhetoric, not just the jihadist terrorists, but also the Western leaders that are pushing back against it. No, you deal with terrorism, and that's what this is, by aggressively taking on the terrorists. So this young man that's accused of this crime, if he's the one that did it, he needs to be punished to the fullest extent of the law.
Yep.
But we also need to engage in the grand project of deprogramming, to the extent we can, the Americans that have had their minds warped by the left. And to the fullest extent we can within the confines of our political institutions, those that use reckless language need to be held accountable for their words. If a politician is out there using reckless language, right, you need to vote him out of office, folks. Right? The other side, they're using bullets. We use ballots. That's how we fight. And if someone is promoting this mass cultural insanity, they do not deserve to be in elected office. But we're going to beat them, Andrew, the way that Charlie Kirk was beating them. The reason that they hated him so much. We are going to win hearts and minds. We don't need violence. You know why? Because we're right. We have the benefit of having ideas that work, that make sense, that when explained, as Charlie Kirk did, attract people to our cause.
Right.
So that's what we're going to engage in. Starting today, moving forward, more Charlie Kirks. They don't grow on trees, but we're going to do our damnedest to follow his example here on the Matt Rooney Show and at 1210 WPHT. You are listening to the Matt Rooney Show. Let's take a quick timeout, and we come back, we're going to explore a little bit more of the origins of how we got to where we are today. And don't worry, a little bit later in this truncated program, I am going to give you an important update on the New Jersey gubernatorial election. It's a big one, so you're not going to want to miss it.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
Back as promised on the Matt Rooney Show, featuring producer Andrew Torres this week. Always happy to have him with us.
Glad to be
here. Not that happy about the news cycle.
No,
obviously
not at all.
It's been a brutal week, and I even feel a little guilty saying that because I mean, you know, I'm upset for the reason that many of you are upset. But what business do I have wallowing in grief? I mean, there's a wife that doesn't have a husband. There's two beautiful children that are never going to get to know their father. At some point, those kids are going to grow up, and somebody's going to show them the video of their dad being assassinated. I mean, what child should ever have to deal with that? I actually was thinking, Andrew, that at some point, I know that RFK Jr. was a fan of Charlie Kirk's.
Yeah.
Maybe when his kids get a little bit older, they should have a conversation with RFK Jr. I'm not kidding, because who the hell else out there could they relate to? Right?
I mean, honestly, it's just a terrible thing to think about. And that's one of the things that I've seen for the most part. You know, the friends and family that I have that have posted on Facebook have been, for the most part, sympathetic and supportive to his wife and family and stuff like that. And that's pretty much all you can ask for. The other thing that I was thinking, too, and you know, it's hard not to make these kind of comparisons and stuff, but thinking about like what my family's gone through, my nephew, he's 14 now. He just started high school. He lives down in Florida. He just moved to Cape Coral. He's starting high school. He's in the ninth grade. His dad, who's my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, passed away in a car accident 3 years ago. So when I hear stories and when I hear about people losing their parents, losing family members, and then you hear the after effect of, yeah, and now the child is going to have to grow up without mom or dad, it resonates with me a little bit more,
right,
than it normally would, right?
It
just
hits.
Because I know what it's like to see somebody have to grow up without their dad. I know what it's like to have to go through the loss of this magnitude and how it affects your family. And it's not fair. When you really think about it, when you boil everything and take everything out, it's not fair that this has happened to the Kirk family and to everybody over there. And
no, it's not fair.
It's unfathomable to think about.
It's not fair. It's an act of incredible cruelty. Do you think that they should take the video down? I saw that
yes.
Congresswoman Luna was advocating for it being removed. I mean,
yes.
I think I said in the first segment, I wish I hadn't seen it. It was awful. But I will tell you, I'm very divided on it, Andrew. Because on the one hand, as I just said, I hate the thought that these kids are going to see it one day.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's stomach churning. Part of me is deeply distraught that we may be desensitizing. Well, strike that. I know we're desensitizing these sort
yeah,
of events.
It's
right.
Because it's getting to the point where when all of this stuff is out there, and even like the violence, you know, the stabbing in North Carolina and other situations, yeah, you know, even like the video of Donald President Trump getting shot last year, like all of this stuff is available and out there.
Right.
How close are we willing to walk to the line of this is going to be considered normal without crossing it?
Because and that's the part that worries
once
me.
Once you cross that line, you can never go back. You can never switch that on and off. It's a genie that
doesn't go back in the bottle.
Right,
that's for damn sure. And that's why I say, you know, people being desensitized to this, that's not a good thing. At the same time, I also think that people need to understand what happened here. Right? A young man was brutally murdered for what he believes. And maybe it should come down, but I almost think some people need to be woken up, and they need to see that there is real hate in the world. There's real hate in our politics. Most of it is coming from one side of the divide, and this isn't some sterile thing that's just happening on your radio, your television, or your YouTube channel. There's nothing. I guess the best way I can put it is, there's nothing remote about what's happening right now. This is something that is affecting all of us and coming to all of our communities if we don't start making better choices. But the left does not seem, as we've touched on a little bit, in any way interested in changing their rhetoric, specifically their years-long campaign now to demonize anyone who is MAGA, America First, however you choose to categorize yourself, as a fascist, as a Nazi, as someone who is unworthy of not just an opinion, but of living. they dehumanize with their language. We attack, we're aggressive, we fight back against the left. The left, it's a little bit different because they attack people's self-worth, right? Or their, I should say, their individual worth. Their right to breathe, not just their ideas. I have an example for you, if you do need one. This is from Western Lensman. Hat tip to Western Lensman. This is one of the more popular X accounts on the right who posted a viral mashup of just some of the examples of prominent Democrats and lefties in the media who in recent years and recent months have said things that have directly contributed to this sad pass at which we find ourselves. This is cut number, which one is it? Is it two or three, Andrew?
I believe it's
dose.
Yep.
Let me ask you tonight, do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do.
This is what kicking the shit out of fascism looks like.
Try to prevent the spread of the lawlessness and the fascist chaos that's been unleashed against us.
So when we say Donald Trump is a fascist, fascism, a huge component of fascism, is uniting racism, bigotry, a form of racist nationalism.
This is, we are now living in a fascist dictatorship.
Mm-hmm. We are worried about potential rise of fascism in this country. We're worried about our democracy falling to an authoritarian and potentially fascist form of government.
Not only to roll over to Donald Trump's will, but to roll over our democracy and allow him to take over this country as a fascist dictator.
When fascism isn't just coming, it's already here.
The former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, said, "No one has ever been more dangerous to this country than Donald Trump, and he is a fascist to his core."
Let me ask you tonight, do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do.
This is what...
So there you go. What else needs to be said, Andrew? The causation is clear. You just heard, what do we have there? Nine prominent lefties. Right, and you recognize most of their voices. Kamala, mm-hmm. AOC, Tim Walz was in there with his crazy bug eyes, pointing at nothing.
Yeah. Well, the crazy thing is
they've all called you and me, folks, not just Charlie Kirk, not just Donald Trump, you and I, fascist Nazis, over and over and over again. Now, Charlie Kirk was just gunned down by a man who one of the bullet casings, upon it was written, "Hey, fascist, catch." Where do you think this young accused killer, where do you think he got those ideas? You don't have to wonder. Your first two guesses, two guesses don't count because we just played it for you.
Yeah, like, it's so obvious which side of the political aisle, where this banter, where this rhetoric, everything that they say about the right, being fascist, being anti-democracy, being against our freedoms, being everything that they've ever said, it's exactly what they do. And it's turned universities across America, it's turned students across America, and to your point, in the last segment, we were talking about the mission that Charlie Kirk had taken on himself to go into those places, to have dialogue, to have debate, to change the minds of the young people, because those are the people that are being attacked the most. It's
day in and day out.
It's crazy to me to think that they keep saying that the right and the Republicans and the conservatives are the evil ones that are trying to destroy America when they're the ones who are doing it by all of the things that they say. And again, we talked about it last year when President Trump got shot in the ear and everybody was talking all of the things like, well, if he would just tone down his rhetoric, or if he would just do this, or maybe, you know, if he wasn't such a fascist. Well, if you would stop calling him that when he's not, and you would stop referring to the entire right half of the American population who votes and believes that way, stop calling them that. And this is where it's getting ridiculous, to the point where, you know, I was having other people that were to talk. Rich Zeoli was on this earlier this week talking about how it's becoming more and more unsafe. Like every conservative is going to be in the back of their mind, like, they're going to be afraid to say what they really think. Which is exactly what the left wants. They want us to be afraid. They want us to shut up. They want us to not speak our opinions. And that's how they felt about Charlie Kirk. And now look at what happened. And it's unbelievable.
It's not stopping. I mean, you would think that this young man being gunned down in the prime of his life, seeing his wife devastated, obviously, seeing how many people are hurting, you think that that might persuade some of them to change their ways, adjust their attitudes, but it's not. I mean, Stephen King, here's another example. That freak. He was on X accusing Charlie Kirk of wanting to, quote, stoning gays to death, end quote. The exact quote from Stephen King was, he advocated stoning gays to death, just saying. Never said it. Charlie Kirk never once said that. Now, Stephen King has had to walk that back. But the damage is done. And his response, too, was what we call a non-apology. Andrew says, I have apologized. Charlie Kirk never advocated stoning gays to death. How about also adding something in there, Stephen King, about how you would become as ghastly as your horror novels? There is something more rotten in your soul than most of the monsters that you have written about in fiction. Let's listen to Charlie Kirk just a little bit here, because, you know, one interesting thing I think about Charlie Kirk and his legacy, Andrew, is that plenty of folks in our audience are aware of him. They know him because they listen to the station, they watch Fox News. Plenty of young Americans know who Charlie Kirk is. He's come to their campuses. He's popular at TikTok. It's one of the reasons he was so influential. But I still think there's a lot of people that are unfamiliar with him. They obviously are going to be now. They need to hear his words. This cut number three, is Charlie Kirk speaking to an interviewer maybe 2 hours before he was assassinated, talking about the Bible. Now, you listen to this young man, folks, and contrast it with what you're hearing from Stephen King and from other quarters of the progressive internet, and you tell me who has a better understanding of what democracy and American pluralism and all those other good things are truly about.
My favorite verses, though, is Romans 8:28, which just says that God works all things for good for those who love him. It's a very freeing and liberating verse for those of us that are Christians, because we believe that when things can be really bad, God is working it for his good, his perfect and pleasing will, which is a very, very hard teaching when you come across business closures or staff layoffs. But it's very liberating that God is working all things towards an ultimate good. So I love that. And it kind of is very freeing that I don't have to be in charge of everything. And there is a God, and I'm not him. And I surrender to his will.
I appreciate that.
Woo. Spooky, too, right?
A little bit.
Given what was going to happen later that day. But, I mean, look, this clip illustrates why Charlie Kirk was so dangerous to the left, why they hated him. It wasn't because he advocated stoning gays or any of that other slander that's floating around out there that he never said didn't believe. It's precisely because he had a way of communicating limited government conservative values that connected without having to be crass or rude or demeaning or dehumanizing like the left almost always is in the modern age. And he paid a price for it. He paid the ultimate price for it. I mean, some of the testimonials online, too, will just, you know, they're tear-jerking. I saw one the other day from a young lady who said that getting involved with Turning Point USA, following their videos, going to their events, she decided not to abort her child. And that she was looking forward to bringing her child to meet Charlie Kirk at an upcoming event. She'll never have that chance now. But you know what you need to do, folks? You need to carry forward Charlie's message. I know it's a little bit scary right now. I have a couple things coming up myself in New Jersey because it's an election year, rallies and things of the like. And some people are concerned, they're afraid, they're not sure whether there are more lone wolves out there. We still don't know all the information about what happened out there in Utah. Well, you don't need encouragement from me. You get it from Charlie Kirk in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, right? God works all things for good. You just got to have faith. You got to have faith. You got to have the confidence that we are on the side of the angels here. And that just like the terrorists on 9/11, these radicalized leftists out there, they hate us for a reason. When it came to Al-Qaeda, what was the common explanation? They hated us for our freedom, right? Here at home, these domestic terrorists, they hate us because we know how to use our freedom and we can use it effectively. And they're offended by that. They wanted to kill Charlie Kirk because they couldn't overcome him in a conversation. That's why they're constantly canceling you, right? Remember back during the 2020 election, they were kicking us all off of Facebook, banning us. They were trying to cancel people. They don't do that because they think they can out-debate you. They do that because they are terrified of your ideas. Does that mean you should back away? No, that means you need to get louder. You need to get prouder. We need to find ways to be more effective. In 2025 and 2026, every cycle, every year, nonstop, no rest until we save this country. It's the only way forward. The only way forward is through. And we're going to do this thing together. Here on the Matt Rooney Show, certainly more true here than anywhere else. We're going to stand by those principles. But let's take a quick time out to play some ads, make a little bit of money, and we'll be back to round out this hour in just a second.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
So turned around this week, Andrew. I got to get on my Halloween decorations. With everything going on.
What?
What do you mean, what?
Why? Why Halloween? Well, okay, all right. We are closer to Halloween. I think when people talk about creating decorations and stuff, not to cut you off or anything, but I have a rant of my own. Back in July, obviously the 4th of July is at the beginning of the week. It's in the first week of July. My wife and I and the kids were walking through Costco. And, you know, normally, you know, they have the summer stuff, and Costco sells some pretty big water slides that are look like animals. And whenever we walked by them, the kids were excited, and they liked looking at them, and they were like, oh, you know, let's get one, and it's like $500, and we're like, yeah, let's not get one. But anyway, they were really excited, and the first time we went to Costco, it was the third or fourth week in July, we went to Costco, and the spot in the store where they normally have all the outdoor stuff for decorations and things, the water slides, all the outdoor stuff, the play places and everything else, they were all gone. And guess what they were replaced with?
Christmas trees.
No, that would have made me even more mad. But in July, Mr. Rooney, they were replaced. In July, they were replaced with pumpkins, jack-o'-lanterns, and costumes, and all of the outdoor decorations that you can think of for Halloween. In the month of July.
I know.
I could not believe it.
In fairness, I get what you're saying about the acceleration of holiday calendars fueled by
it's terrible.
These evil capitalist corporations.
Oh, yeah.
However, it's now after Labor Day. It's mid-September. I'm looking out my window as we're doing this, and I see leaves coming off the trees.
No,
some of them are beginning to turn. We're not, you know, the kiddies are back in school.
Mm-hmm. Pumpkin spice
being radicalized by the teachers' unions.
Yep.
It's time. I don't think I'm that ahead of schedule is my point. I mean, this is me putting out Halloween decorations now. It'd be like the equivalent of putting up Christmas lights Thanksgiving week. It's a smidge early, but it's not insanely early.
Yeah. I mean, I could go on a rant about that, too. It's like...
I just want to plan, too. I'm not saying I'm even putting everything out.
No, that's a fair point. I just have a problem. I think it just really took me off guard. You know, the 4th of July had just came to a close. And we were walking through the store the next time. And they're already talking about something that's in October. And it's not even like Halloween's the last day in October. July and October, they're like 3 months apart from each other. Like,
there's no proximity whatsoever.
Do they make that much more money by having the Halloween decorations and things in the store at the end of July? Like, is it really worth all of that stuff to be there from a financial capitalist perspective, as you say?
The answer is probably that they don't have anything else for that retail space and there's someone shopping. So why not? Right? They're bringing in the stock anyway.
I guess.
They're bringing in the merchandise. Why not?
Sure.
Plus, things are a little extra spooky in New Jersey at the moment because we're in the middle of this gubernatorial election. That's right?
Very true.
Although, and actually in New Jersey, we know that it's the time of year when the dead rise from their graves, the ghouls and goblins, to register as Democrats and vote.
Right.
Although, I'm feeling fairly bullish about the New Jersey gubernatorial election at the moment. I promised everyone an update. I'm gonna give you two big updates. The first is that we've got a new poll. It's from National Research. And I know some of you hate the polls because they're often wrong. If it makes you feel any better, Adam Geller, who's the principal behind National Research, he was a Trump pollster back in 2016. He was one of the first guys to detect that there was movement happening in the upper Midwest when no one thought it was possible for a Republican presidential nominee to carry a state like Wisconsin or Michigan, right? He was also one of the only pollsters back in 2021. He was the pollster for Cittarelli then. He's the pollster for Cittarelli now that predicted a close race. You remember back in 21, nobody thought that Jack Cittarelli could win, and then he ultimately fell short by only 3 points with no outside help. Well, we've got Adam Geller's latest survey this week. He is showing Jack Cittarelli in a statistically tied race. It's within the margin of error, folks. It's 47-45% Cheryl among 600 likely voters. The margin of error is 4%. So that means that it's really anybody's ballgame. Either of them can actually be ahead. Cittarelli's lead, Andrew, among unaffiliated voters. Like most states, the largest bucket of voters in New Jersey are actually those that are not registered as a D or an R. Mm-hmm. Jack's up 12 points, 50%. To 38%, he's got a 2-point lead among self-identified working class or middle class voters. This is arguably the biggie. Ready for this one? I'm going to drop this one on you. 57% of New Jerseyans polled believe New Jersey's on the wrong track. Only 30% think New Jersey's on the right track. I don't know how you could pay property taxes here and think we're on the right track, but 30% of people, I guess, don't. At the same period, or roughly the same period, back in 21, Geller had the right track, wrong track, right side up. It was 47% thought we were on the right track, 43% on the wrong track. So dramatically different numbers than when Phil Murphy narrowly hung on and was reelected 4 years ago. So this poll is real reason for optimism. And that optimism is clearly reflected from the Republican Governors Association, which up to this point had invested in the race. They're up with a 7-figure ad now in New Jersey, and it is
wow. It
is a doozy. It is a doozy, Andrew. I'm not gonna play the ad for you, but I'm gonna play the clip that is the centerpiece of that ad. It's Mikey Sherrill, the congresswoman and Democrat nominee for governor, on a Sirius XM program back in April 2025. I don't even need to tee this one up. You'll appreciate what she says, and it will make you want to put your own head through a wall if you pay electric bills in New Jersey at the moment. We know they're out of control for reasons which I've explained ad nauseum on this program. Let's get Mikey's take.
We need to move into clean power. And there's almost been this understanding, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg, but if you're a good person, you'll do it.
If you're a good person, Andrew, you'll pay higher electric bills for windmills and solar panels and other crap that doesn't work. She's virtue signaling electric bills. I think that all Jack Cittarelli needs to do at this point, besides, you know, register voters and chase down Republicans for their ballots. Just loop this ad.
Yeah.
Just loop it.
It does.
It's the left in a nutshell, right? Not only do they have these crazy wrong ideas that make your existence less free and your life more expensive, but if you don't agree with them, you're not a nice person.
Yeah. You're a Nazi and a fascist.
Right.
Like it's like a good person, a good citizen of New Jersey will suck it up and pay the higher energy bill because it's the right thing to do, because it's the environmental thing to do. It's the insert whatever you want right thing to do. Yeah. And it's just like, no, it's not.
Well,
it's not about your politically correct, global warming, environmental changing agenda. It's about you serving the people that are voting for you and making sure that our lives are the best that they can be in this state. And for 8 years, we've had Phil Murphy, and all he cared about was pushing agenda and raising taxes. And if Mikey Sherrill, God forbid, wins this election in November, we're going to get more and worse of that. God forbid. She would be worse.
No,
of course she'll be worse, because she sounds worse than Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris can barely do an interview, but at least she had an idea of what not to say and what to avoid. Mikey Sherrill just came out and said exactly what you're not supposed to say. She came out and said, yeah, it's going to be more expensive. Oh, well.
Well, maybe Mikey Sherrill.
Be a good citizen and pay for it.
Maybe Mikey Sherrill needs to start drinking more. Maybe that was Kamala Harris' secret, right?
I don't know.
Hit the white wine. Chardonnay helps all the horrible ideas go down a lot easier.
Ugh.
But this is the connective tissue. This is the connective tissue, right, between everything that we've talked about today with the horrendous events out in Utah, the New Jersey gubernatorial election. They never try to win an argument anymore.
No, because they know they can't.
The left never tries to win an argument because they know that they can't. They don't even try. They demonize. They accuse you of being a Nazi, a fascist. They say you're not nice. Mikey says you're not nice if you don't want to pay double or triple for the same electricity that you paid last year, right? And then in some more serious cases, right, they try to kill us.
Yeah. And the thing, it's like you're talking about, they don't want to have dialogue. They don't want to debate because they know they're going to lose. So instead, they try to make it sound like they get people to think, and particularly college students, we've talked about this before, they think by telling everybody that the Republicans, that the conservatives, the ones on the right, are the ones that are trying to restrict free speech. Every single thing that Charlie Kirk was doing, engaging with people, talking about points, debating and having dialogue, that is the destruction of the Democrat Party. That is the destruction of the left. It's the destruction of the liberals, because as soon as their ideas and as soon as their thoughts and the way that they want to run things are out in the open, they're finished, and they know it.
Yeah,
and that's the problem.
No, that's right. And that's why we got to win one for Charlie, folks. It starts in New Jersey this year. It continues in the midterm elections of 2026. I said it online, got a billion likes and retweets, and a couple lefties naturally said, oh, you're politicizing a tragedy. First of all, anyone that knew Charlie Kirk, right, either personally or his body of work, I do not think Charlie Kirk would be offended if people used this horrible incident as a rallying cry to affirm his life's work, right? To go out there, dialogue, and to convince people that we don't have to live this way. I can guarantee you that's where Charlie Kirk would come down on this. But also, again, consider the source, right? We're advocating for people to get out there to honor this man's legacy and to fight back with ballots.
Right.
What are we supposed to do, leftists? Fight the way that you want to fight? No, thank you. That is no place in a civilized society. We're better than you want us to be. We're better than what you're trying to turn us into. And if you have any doubt, folks, I say it all the time on this program, New Jersey is winnable this year. I gave you one example. There's another poll floating around out there that I've had the opportunity to get read in on. It was, well, what if 2025 in New Jersey looks like the electorate in 2021?
Mm.
Chitterelli's up by a point in that model. And if it's 2024, he's very close. So don't let anyone tell you otherwise. The Garden State can go red this year. We are close. And we need to, more now than ever, send a message to these violent Antifa-style thugs that we will not be bullied and cowed into giving up our republic. We're not going to give up our beliefs. We're not going to give up our way of life. We are going to win. We are going to win the future for our country, for our neighbors, our families, our children. There's no stopping us. You try to cut one of us down, we're just going to keep working that much harder. That's our promise to you. That's my pledge to you. And I need you all to make us the same promise. And if we do that, I promise you we're going to come out on the other side of this. But for now, I appreciate you listening to this episode of The Matt Rooney Show, a truncated version. Thank you again to producer Andrew Torres for pinch hitting this week while Daniel is out gallivanting around. Until next time, remember, now more than ever, stay safe, stay sane, and keep fighting for this greatest nation in God's creation. It's worth it.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.